In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Scott Sander, one of the pastors at Brookside Baptist Church, joined by our senior pastor, Pastor Ken Keltner, and it is Christmas morning. I just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas today, and I'm reminded of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And that's what we celebrate today. I trust that you all know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and are celebrating him and worshiping him this Christmas Day. And we know we need this Savior because of our sin. And that's the subject of the passage of Scripture we've been studying on these broadcasts lately, Pastor Ken, is sin. And it's evident. It rises to the surface in this sewer part of Scripture in Judges 19.
And, you know, even on Christmas Day, there are tragedies that take place. Several years ago on the island of St. Vincent, Christmas morning, heavy rains up in the mountains. I mean, heavy, heavy rains in the mountains came down the riverbed, had flooding, and homes and people were washed out to sea. I mean, it took place on Christmas, yeah. Christmas Day. And yet it seems like every day, you know, because it goes back to sin, there are consequences and the world suffers. Even we're told in Romans that the earth itself groans because of this. And you hate it when you hear about tragedy. I heard of one in 1977 that took place that few people really can even know anything about, this place called Tenerife. In fact, most of us probably not even sure, well, where would the location of Tenerife, spelled T-E-N-E-R-I-F-E, is located. It's located in the Canary Islands. But on April the 3rd, on that day, a little airport there in the Canary Islands, two 747s collided on the runway. And that accident left 575 people dead, thousands mourning, and Tenerife as the focal point of world attention. There are some questions about that tragedy which will never be answered, although the chief facts are clear. The airport was crowded because the main airport at Las Palmas had been closed due to a bombing. As a result, the 747s had to taxi on the runway rather on the taxiway. It was a foggy day and the two pilots could not see one another, but for some inexplicable reason, the Dutch pilot began his takeoff without clearance from the control tower. Obviously, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. The other plane was in the way, and he was unable to avoid it. As a result, hundreds of people were killed. So now every pilot is taught one very basic lesson at the beginning of his training. In an air traffic control zone, you do not do what seems best in your eyes. You do what the control tower tells you to do. I mean, and this is always true, but it's especially true when visibility is bad. And the reason is, of course, very simple. The controller knows things that you do not know. He has better information. He has a better vantage point, he has a better perspective to guide a pilot to safety. And that's an obvious principle of aviation, but it's also an important principle of life. We live at a time when a thick moral fog has settled in upon our society. The old moral landmarks have been obliterated, and no one really seems to know the difference between right and wrong. And so it's very tempting to just fly by the seat of your pants and do what you think is right or even permissible. and simply just not trust God's word. And so because of sin, we see here what's recorded for us. Aren't you thankful God isn't still recording scripture of what's going on today?
Yeah.
But in this day, in Judges 19, a very difficult passage to study, and we said there's three statements in Judges 19 we want to look at. And the first that we looked at already was that permissiveness leads to depravity. But today we want to look at, in verses 10 through 21, disobedience encourages compromise. So the scripture tells us we are all born in sin. We have a sin nature. From day one, we're disobedient. How many of the kids in your family might be fighting over a gift today? Or even better, fighting over the box the gift came in.
Right.
And you're seeing, even in small children, this sinful nature. We are born with a sin nature.
We don't have to teach our kids to be selfish.
No. But we also live in a day of compromise. In fact, I believe that from the time we begin our life in the world, we pretty well learn the art of compromise. All the way through life, we go to the line of least resistance. We hold a conviction until it gets in the way of our comfort and our ease. We have a standard as long as it doesn't violate something we wish to do. I mean, if we can get by with a little less than our best, you know, we'll do it. If we can cheat a little on the divine principles and precepts, we'll do it. Especially if it's best for me. Selfish individuals will usually find each other and form a group, making a whole world of compromise. Unfortunately, compromising standards and compromising truths have found their way into the church. In fact, I believe we've compromised with the world so repeatedly, we have compromised with the world so often that, frankly, friends, I think we don't even understand what the compromises are anymore. I mean, I've heard of some taking their unsaved to a service only to have the unsaved person, when they hit the parking lot, look at them and go, "Were we just in church?" We see the picture here in Judges 19. And again, it should be like a neon sign to wake us up, like red lights flashing. There is social insensitivity. They compromised God's standard and they became comfortable with their own standard. Two specific times in this chapter, the older generation is pictured as kind and hospitable. Just keep that in mind. But let's see what happens to the younger Levite, his servant, and his concubines as they leave. Remember, we're on a second Levite here, supposed to be a spiritual leader who's not a spiritual leader. He's gone to retrieve his concubine who has gone and lived. She left him, went to her father's house for 4 months, and he's gone to pick her up. But why don't you begin reading in verses 12 through 14.
But his master said to him, "We will not turn aside here into a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go on to Gibeah." So he said to his servant, "Come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night in Gibeah or in Ramah." And they passed by and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin.
Okay, so again, you got to understand the setting here. This Levite, who has a servant, and his concubine leave her father's home to go back home. And what's interesting is the Levite did not want to stop in the city of the Jebusites. And this city, as we know at this time, was Jerusalem, because they didn't run the Jebusites out of Jerusalem. And it wasn't until David became king that he said, "We're going to run the Jebusites out of Jerusalem." And they basically said, "It's never been done. You're not going to do it." And God gave David the ability to do it. But at this particular time, it was the city of Jerusalem. This city should have been a Benjamite city, but because of their failure to obey God fully, it still remained in Canaanite hands. So here we continually see the compromise of the nation. And so he doesn't want to stay in this city. He wants to keep going on and either get to Gibeah or Ramah. Well, since Gentiles occupied this Jerusalem city, this Levite had made a decision, "We're not staying there." And you can see his thought here. Why would I stay in Jebus with these Canaanite people? Because of these people have no sense of morality or decorum. I mean, this is what he's thinking. You remember in Genesis 20, Abraham came into the land of Canaan, and he lied about Sarah being a sister and not his wife. And the reason he stated to King Abimelech was this: I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me and take my wife. This Levite seems to have the same attitude. I'm not going to stay with these Canaanites because they have no sense of what is right or wrong. Rather, I will go on to Gibeah or to Ramah, which is a little suburb of Jerusalem, and stay there with them. So he's assuming the people of God will have more morals than the pagans. Is that a safe assumption? I remember that got us into trouble more than once with allowing the boys to go over to a home of a believer thinking they would have the same biblical standards. Wrong again. Because unknowingly to us, compromise is already a norm for that family. Again, we're good at rationalizing why something's okay now when years ago it was not. You pick out some signs of the culture that will demonstrate how disobedience can bring about the death of people. And as you watch it, just see how close it comes to the United States of America. Not just the United States, but every nation that's punted on the belief that God is creator and man has been made in his image. And we go back to Genesis 1 through 11.
If we as a church all embraced those basic truths, God is a creator, Genesis 1 through 11, a lot of this callous that have built up in many of the spiritual leaders or Christian homes wouldn't exist, I don't think.
Yeah. What happens to the culture of that nation that substitutes God for pantheism or atheism or the like? In a sense, this text is not just some history of a group of people that continually blew it, but a prophetic picture of what happens to, get this now, any culture when man exalts himself over God and we want to just push God away. But secondly here, there is insufficient hospitality. Why don't you read verse 15 for us?
They turned aside there to go in to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night.
Pick it out here. Common decency has disappeared. There's no hospitality in his own nation. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, the highest virtue of any culture was hospitality. Israel was commanded by God to extend hospitality even to a foreigner in his house. And so the Levite takes his entourage into Gibeah and is left standing in the city square. Jesus said, where lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. We're going to see in our next broadcast that lawlessness prevails in this city, and there is no love, not even for fellow countrymen. And here is a sign. It's rudeness. There is rudeness in the land, and I do not believe you can have godliness where there is rudeness. Have you ever been in a church where people are rude to one another? Again, we've lost the distinctiveness for Christ with the world in which we live. It's unfortunately happened within the church. Well, enjoy your Christmas day and your time together, and trust you can join us on Wednesday when we come back with our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.